And emotional eating, incidentally, doesn't just have to be negative. When people think about that term emotional eating, they often think about feeling sad, feeling anxious, feeling stressed, feeling overwhelmed and turning to food. But emotional eating can also be eating when you're happy, eating as celebration, eating when you're excited, eating as reward. And so it can even be a positive type of experience that leads you to emotional eating.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky. I always say it, but I think I have the best role in the world. Now, today, we're going to be talking about weight loss with Dr. Candace Setti. Now, we're going to be looking at this from a perspective of how to change your mindset. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Look, I can see here you're a licensed clinical psychologist, a certified personal trainer, a certified nutritional coach, certified weight management specialist, and certified expert life coach. Now, I had to take a breath. I ran out of space.
I know, that's a lot of stuff.
That's a wonderful background. I'm looking at your about page as well, and it looks like you're very active. You love your sports, and obviously today's focus is going to be weight loss. But just before we jump into that, I'd love to talk a little bit and share a little bit about your background, what you do, and your time away from the workplace.
Well, you know, you hit a little bit with the activity thing. My time away from the workplace, I do like to be active. I do like to move my body, to exercise, to be involved in, you know, anything kind of outdoors or at the gym or interactive in that respect. You know, the idea of walking places when possible, being in nature. I mean, I do love all of that stuff, but I love having an active social life. I love spending time with friends, family, my husband, my dog, all of that kind of stuff. You know, trying to make the most of my time away from work. I do work a lot.
Yes.
I am a self-proclaimed workaholic. So when I am away from work, I do like to make the most of it for sure.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing a little bit of insight. You know, a couple of things there. Your dog, what sort of dog do you have?
He is a giant mutt. he is a 90-pound mutt, and he is just a big baby.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely adorable by the sounds of things.
Yes, well, we think so. We might be a little biased. But.
that's completely fine. So am I. Hey, listen, you talked about being a workaholic, and I wonder, you know, if this dovetails well into the show today about weight loss, given that people do work long hours nowadays, how do you think that affects their mindset behind what they consume when they're very busy?
Well, I mean, it has a huge impact on it. I mean, not just food consumption, but activity level, like we just talked about as well. I mean, most people's jobs, unfortunately, are very sedentary, right? I mean, you know, the majority of us sit at a desk and look at a computer all day, and we don't move, and we keep our body in this uncomfortable position all day, and then when we stand up, it hurts, so we don't want to do anything else because we feel like, you know, it's just going to hurt and it's problematic, and so many of us eat at our desks or eat while we're working, so that behavior becomes kind of mindless.
Yeah.
It becomes something that they happen to be doing while they're doing the other more important things. So food and eating become secondary instead of being primary. And so it keeps you very disconnected from your food. So you don't have a lot of engagement with it. You don't have a lot of satiation that comes from it because you're not really experiencing it in a mindful way. And mindfulness, mindful eating in particular, is such a huge part of what I focus on for this very reason. So many of us are so busy now in life in general that food is never something that we do on its own. It's always something that we do while we're doing the other more important or more distracting things so that we don't really connect with our food. So I try and help people reestablish that connection so they can really, you know, feel that meal and feel that experience and appreciate and savor what they're eating so that at the end of that meal, they do have that feeling of satiation that they can take with them so they're not left longing. So
yeah, it seems to me that, you know, we've got two arms, so we use both, one for writing mm-hmm. whilst we're working, the other one, you know, eating on the go. And it seems to, you know, I have to say that I've been part of that whole process. I've noticed how busy you can get, and you do try to, I guess, cram it in rather than, like you say, is enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And people don't even realize they're doing it a lot of the times. I often challenge individuals I work with to go a week having their meals without a screen in front of them. And, you know, that means a computer, obviously, but it also means a phone, a tablet, a television. And people don't realize that almost every meal they have, there is a screen in front of them. And it's not just because they're busy. It's because it's what we do now. It's what we associate. The idea of sitting down and eating without watching TV or without playing on our phone, right? Those aren't things that are keeping us busy. They're things that are keeping us distracted. Mm. And people don't even realize how common that is and how impactful that is. I use the example a lot of, you know, sitting and eating in front of the TV, per se. And, you know, you're eating and you're watching TV, and then you kind of look down and you're going, where's my food? What happened to it? Not even realizing that you've already eaten it all.
Yeah, been there.
Completely disconnected. Yeah, everybody's been there.
Yeah.
Because we just get so disconnected from our eating when we're doing something else while eating.
I wonder, you know, this notion of mindless eating, do you think that marketing, you know, through different media has some responsibility to take for the way we are as a society in terms of our diets?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I think, you know, I mean, it's not 100% responsible, but it is definitely 100% impactful. Mm. It's, you know, it's everywhere. Everywhere we go, everything we do. I mean, you know, again, talking about sitting watching TV and eating, you may be sitting watching TV and eating something and seeing a commercial for another type of food while you're eating something, and then you start thinking about that other food instead of actually experiencing the food that you're eating. It just kind of keeps you focused on something else or what's next, as opposed to being present.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem, is, you know, when we talk about mindfulness, we're also talking about being present focused.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of us tend to struggle with as well.
Do you think that, like, I've seen occasionally with my kids, they tend to think that it's okay to sit in front of the television to eat, and oftentimes I find ourselves, you know, taking them to the table and turning off the technology just whilst we're eating. I guess this harks back to this idea of being present whilst you're eating it.
Oh yes, I love that.
I'd like to, if we could, talk about this emotional eating component, because it struck me as something that I have been subject to. You know, I'm feeling down. You know, oftentimes I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I've had enough with the day, and I feel very emotional when I go for the wrong types of food. From a psychological standpoint, what are some of the things that we can do to trigger ourselves away from poor choices when we're eating?
Well, what you're talking about specifically in regards to emotional eating, mm-hmm. which is something that almost everybody does,
mm-hmm.
And emotional eating, incidentally, doesn't just have to be negative. When people think about that term emotional eating, they often think about feeling sad, feeling anxious, feeling stressed, feeling overwhelmed and turning to food. But emotional eating can also be eating when you're happy, eating as celebration, eating when you're excited, eating as reward. And so it can even be a positive type of experience that leads you to emotional eating. And mindfulness, certainly, mindful eating is definitely a way to kind of break that cycle. But so is emotional awareness. And what you just said, you know, the fact that you're able to identify that in those situations, you know, you are turning to food or maybe different types of food than you would ordinarily.
Mm-hmm.
That first step of just noticing that, building awareness of that, understanding that that's a behavior, is huge, because not everyone can do that in the moment. And so one of the things I do help people do is build that awareness and that identification. And then, you know, the next step is oftentimes understanding that emotion, allowing themselves to experience and feel that emotion, because we often eat because we're scared of that emotion. We don't want to feel it, right? If I'm anxious, I don't want to sit in my anxiety. I'd rather eat and get distracted by that. But the idea of learning how to sit in your anxiety or your sadness or your happiness or whatever that emotion is, and be okay with it, understand that, you know, it's not going to destroy you. You can feel it, identify it, and move past it and go through it without having to turn to food, because food is a distraction, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. stop that emotion. It just sort of delays your experience of that emotion. So it's going to come at you at some point anyways. And the idea is, instead of prolonging it or putting it into the future, to experience it now and allow yourself to go through it and then move on, is a huge tool that people can have in their toolbox of challenging emotional eating. And then, you know, creating alternative behaviors, right? When you do notice that you're feeling anxious and you're turning to food, what can you do instead, right? Yep. Can you go take a walk? Can you exercise? Can you meditate? Can you call a friend? Can you journal? Can you, you know, play on Facebook? Can you, you know, talk to somebody? Can you watch a movie, right? What can you do in that situation that can become a healthier, you know, alternative behavior to emotional eating, and working on building that and creating a habit out of that, replacing the emotional eating habit, because that's really all it is, yeah. is a habit that's just been developed with a lot of repetition over time.
Thank you so much for sharing these insights. They are so valuable. I wonder, is there a reason why people use visualization? You know, they might put up images of, you know, quote unquote, the perfect body in front of them and still mm-hmm. find that they fail. What's some of the reasons behind that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with this concept of all or nothing thinking, or, you know, thinking in what's called black and white terms, which mm-hmm. is all or nothing thinking is a term that's very common in cognitive behavioral psychology. And it's the idea that there's really these only two extremes. You're either perfect or you're a failure. You're either 100% on a diet or 100% off a diet. And what happens is it just sets us up for failure. Because when people think in these terms, let's say they go on a diet, you know, maybe they have all these amazing bodies that they're looking at on Instagram that are motivating them. I'm going to look like that. I'm just going to eat chicken and broccoli for the next month. And, you know, they go about it and they're doing great for 3 or 4 days. And then on the fourth day, they have a cupcake. And in their mind, they've just blown it. All is lost. They're completely done. They've completely, you know, yep. blown off their diet, and now they might as well just go and eat everything in sight, and they can try again another week. And that kind of thinking, which a lot of us are prone to, seeing things only in this extreme, sets us up for this yo-yo dieting phenomenon, right? This on and off mentality. So, you know, starting to tweak your thinking and be aware of your thinking and learn to focus on, you know, seeing things in more 80-20 mentality and understanding the shades of gray, and starting to, you know, question these thoughts as they come up, these all or nothing black and white thoughts, and accept the lack of reality in that thinking and rephrase them and refocus on thoughts that are much more reality-based is one of the really effective ways to change that style of thinking.
Yeah, that's wonderful feedback. I wonder, given the images I'm looking at, what does your typical day look like for you?
Well, my workday is pretty long. I usually work from about 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., but I have a big break in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I work early because, you know, people want to come see me when they're available, which is usually before work and after work, right? So I work early in the day, and then I usually work through the lunch hour. And after the lunch hour, I usually take a break. I will go to the gym. I'll go home and make lunch, go walk the dog, shower, you know, take care of whatever I need to do at home, and then I come back to work kind of mid-afternoon, and I work till about 7, and then I go home. My husband gets home about the same time, and we usually have dinner together, yep. you know, walk the dog, hang yep. out, and go to bed and do it all over again the next day.
And there's a reason I ask, because, you know, I think about this idea of the circadian rhythm for mm-hmm. you know, our peak performance times and other times where we're not so good. You know, I typically find mm-hmm. for myself that, you know, nearing just after lunch at about 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. I'll have something to eat and then I go flat. And yet that's the time typically when I should be, you know, doing the most amount of productive work. So mm-hmm. do you find that the people that you work with are very different in this respect?
Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of that has to do with, you know, person-to-person specifics. When you see that kind of, you know, post-lunch lull thing that tends to happen, it can be a lot of different things. A lot of time it's a blood sugar drop that can be related to what you've eaten for lunch.
Yeah.
And so looking at eating, you know, in ways to kind of sustain yourself throughout the day. And for a lot of people that get that at lunch, you know, they made a big breakfast, they made a big lunch and a big dinner, and then they get that drop kind of shortly after each one of those meals. And for those people, when it is food related, a simple change can be, you know, breaking away from the big meal mentality to have kind of smaller meals throughout the day more regularly so that you are kind of keeping your blood sugar levels more even throughout the day. That can be one way to approach that. Exercise can also be another way to approach that. You know, playing, if you do exercise regularly, playing with the time of day that you exercise to see how it impacts your energy level throughout the day can be, you know, another effective route to take. It can also be like what I talked about, like what I do, taking breaks, mm-hmm. right? I take a break at that time of day when a lot of people are having that little drop. So I kind of get re-energized at that point in the day. I imagine if I were just, you know, sitting in my office throughout that entire day, that I would have that same experience. So a lot of times it's really about playing with your behaviors throughout the day to find what works for you. And that is very different person to person.
Yeah, it's funny. I just reflecting on an idea that in the workplace that I had heard about where people would actually have afternoon naps. Is that is that a positive thing to be doing, do you think?
Well, it can be. I mean, it's, you know, the siesta idea in Europe, right? And again, I would say person to person, it can be effective, right? There are some people that have a lot more energy after they've taken a nap, whereas some people have a hard time kind of rebounding from a nap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the other piece about naps is how it impacts our evening sleep, our nighttime sleep. And sleep is a huge factor when it comes to overall wellness, but I like to talk about sleep a lot when it comes to weight loss because, you know, if your sleep is disrupted, if your sleep is inadequate, mm-hmm. if your sleep is not regular, it can have a huge impact on your weight because it has an impact on your hormones, and all of our hormones influence the way we hold on to weight or the way we burn. And so I do like to talk with people a lot about their sleep quality and kind of building effective sleep hygiene and, you know, creating really strong sleep quality. And naps can sometimes interfere with that. Mm. You know, they can impact our ability to sleep well at night if we're sleeping too much in the day. So that's something to look at when it comes to napping too.
Yeah, my wife, she often looks at different things and she shares them with me in terms of different diets. You know, you have all these, mm-hmm. let's call them fads for lack of better ways sure. to put them. You know, keto diets. Now, I'm not saying that's a fad or not. All these different mm-hmm. ideas and concepts. What actually just works? What can we all go back to and get rid of all these marketing type approaches? You know, try the keto, try this, don't do this, uh-huh. and stand on one leg. What works?
Awareness and whole foods.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, I don't really subscribe to any specific food-based diet program. Mm-hmm. But I think what works long-term is understanding yourself, understanding your body, understanding your motivations, understanding, you know, your thoughts, you know, how your self-sabotage, how your behaviors and your lifestyle are kind of setting you up for success or failure, and making changes that are specific to you. And, you know, if you're doing that and focusing on ideally eating real food most of the time, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what you're eating or how you're eating it or what macro ratio you have or any of that, as long as you're kind of focused on taking care of you and eating for the right reasons.
Well, that's wonderful feedback. I'd love to give the opportunity for the My Future Business audience to find you. So if they wanted to work with you directly, where would they
mm-hmm. go? My website, which is theweightlosstherapist.com. There's a bunch of stuff they can do on the site beyond just work with me. I have several different free guides that they can download. Specifically, I have a mealtime makeover guide, which kind of walks you through 10 very simple changes you can make to mealtime to, you know, kind of have a huge impact on your weight. And these include some mindful changes like we talked about, as well as some other things you can do in terms of how you're structuring, what you're eating, how you're planning, that sort of stuff. So that can be, you know, a really effective first step for people. Obviously, they can also contact me directly to work with me directly. And I have several programs, you know, do-it-yourself programs mm-hmm. that people can sign up for on my website as well.
Well, that's fantastic. So for everybody who's listening to the show today, I will be making the links back to theweightlosstherapist.com below this post. Dr. Seti, it's been an absolute treat spending some time with you on the My Future Business show today.
It's been great chatting with you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.